Praise be Jesus and Mary.
Now and forever.
Jeremiah's experience prefigures Jesus's in many ways. Both were destined for rejection and conflict with their people. Each was likened to a sacrificial lamb. Each was betrayed by those closest to him. Each was opposed and persecuted by the chief priests, condemned to death, and tried by a vacillating civil magistrate, partly sympathetic, but weak-willed. Finally, Jeremiah was thrown into a pit and later pulled out of it, foreshadowing our Lord's burial and resurrection. So when the first reading tells us of a plot by the ungrateful people to destroy the prophet, this is also Jesus' story. And this leads us into today's gospel, in which Christ frankly announces, and for the third and last time, what will happen to him. Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be handed over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and hand him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and scourged and crucified, and he will be raised on the third day. And it is not only Jeremiah and Christ who are the object of plots. Saint Jerome says that the heretics make up false charges and preempt holy people with accusations as they plan not what truth they will speak, but what falsehoods they will invent. For they boast that God's law, counsel, and speech will remain with their priests, wise men, and pseudo-prophets. Ideologues today do much the same. Unable to beat the church with the truth, they turn to lies and force in order to prevail. All three, Jeremiah, Christ, and his church, are called by the Lord to proclaim his word for the good of all, and they encounter not only rejection, but also slander and deadly hatred. For a worldly mentality is opposed to the wisdom of God, and those who do not abandon worldly ideas need to seek to get rid of those who proclaim God's truth. Even the apostles, for all their goodwill, had difficulty putting aside worldly views to accept the wisdom of the cross. It was incomprehensible to them that the Messiah would die. The Messiah must reign forever. How can he die? They value visible things more than invisible ones also, because they are more accessible or more immediate. And yet, as St. Paul teaches us, what is seen is transitory, but what is unseen is eternal. James and John imagine Christ's kingdom will be an earthly one like David's and Solomon's, and they think that they are acquiring positions of privilege in the kingdom by being close to Jesus. And indeed they are, but the privileges of apostles are for the service of God and the community, not for personal aggrandizement. The greatest service is to die to save others, and those who do so are due the highest honor. This is the service that Jesus renders. The Son of Man came to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. This is the service he's prefiguring when he washes the feet of the apostles. To wash the feet was the office of the lowest slave, a job that no one, not even the slaves, wanted. So the lowest ranking slave had to wash the feet of his master. And by doing this for the apostles, Jesus shows that he is doing the lowest service. As he does it, he takes off his garment. So he sets aside the garment of his flesh. He dies in order to do a service that you couldn't find anyone to do, to die in someone else's place. And so getting back to today's gospel, Jesus says to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Can you drink the chalice that I am going to drink?" This chalice or cup which Christ is going to drink is that of which he spoke three times, his passion and cross. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he will say, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup, or chalice if you will, pass from me." And when Saint Peter draws his sword to defend Christ, Jesus will say to him, "Shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given me?" After him, the martyrs talked about this cup. Saint Polycarp, the oldest account that we have of a martyrdom, Saint Polycarp blessed God for having granted him a place among the number of the martyrs in the cup of your Christ. And yet the experience of James and John shows us that one can drink this cup without dying a martyr's death. For while St. James was the first martyr among the apostles, beheaded in AD 42, St. John lived about 60 years after his brother's death. He did show himself ready to undergo martyrdom. He was immersed in boiling oil at Rome and miraculously survived, and so was sent into exile. And so it is not necessarily in physical death as a martyr that is the cup of Christ, but the readiness to suffer for the gospel, the readiness to suffer for the truth. And we must all have this readiness to suffer for the truth so as not to be taken away from proclaiming it, so as not to be taken away from our calling. And so, in conclusion, the readings today speak to us of the price of serving God and encourage us to bravely bear whatever God permits in our life so as to attain to the glory which knows no end. Praise be Jesus and Mary.